why is Council doing this?
Well, the Dungown Dam, once dams in New South Wales reach a certain higher size, volume, they're called prescribed dams, and whilst the Dungown Dam is a prescribed dam, so it's owned and operated by the council, but we're required to follow some guidelines set down by the New South Wales Dam Safety Committee. And one of those guidelines is that we have to do a dam break assessment for the Dungown Dam. We did one in 1983, and obviously that's a long time ago, and we were required to do another one. What the dam break assessment does is has a look at what would happen to the dam in the event of earthquake and in the event of various extreme flood events, and in particular what happens to the properties downstream of the dam in terms of flooding, and then they look at you know, what the probable loss of life would be due to that flooding.
Okay, so is this a result of, in any other way, of what happened with Wivenhoe and out of Queensland?
Well, no, we were required to do it anyway, but I think the Wivenhoe Dam incident certainly highlights the risk of two extreme flood events and to properties living downstream of the dam.
So how come things have changed so much since 1983?
Well, you know, look, we've computer, well, the ability for us to model these flood events is a lot better now because of computing power and what we can now do. It's amazing what we can do now. We actually flew from the dam down to Dungown Village and surveyed all of the valley so that we can now get an accurate assessment of the shape of the valley in various locations, which allows us to fairly accurately work out what the depth of water will be at any location between the dam and the village. We were able to take levels on the floor, the residential properties of the floors of these residential properties to compare the flood heights to the floor to see whether they're in at some danger of inundation. So I think we're able to do a lot more work. We know a lot more about rainfall intensities and what these extreme rain events will look like. So we're able to get a more accurate assessment of just what might happen.
All right, so what did you forecast for the region? What were the possible scenarios that you came up with?
Well, from that work, look, there's three scenarios. As Doug said, there's a sunny day failure, which is where it's not raining. The dam's full of water and we may have an earthquake or something like that. And if the dam were to fail, what would that mean in terms of flooding downstream? And the other two are related to these extreme rainfall events. So what happens if it rains, with one of these events occurs and the dam is overtopped and doesn't fail, or it overtops and does fail, what would be the depth of water downstream? And from those, we've identified that there's 11 properties which, because of their proximity to the dam, so we can't give the residents very much warning, because of the velocity of the water as it flows past their place, the depth of water through their place, and the number of people that might be resident at that place, there's 11 properties that we've identified as being high risk of loss of life.
And the other remaining 30 properties, what will happen there?
And in addition to that, there's another 30-odd properties where, whilst they may be inundated with water, they on that scale of those four issues, they either are far enough away from the dam to get some notice, or the velocity of the water has slowed down. And in those properties, we are suggesting that the council will build flood refuges for them somewhere higher than the flood height, and in the event of flooding events, we would notify them and ask them to evacuate to their refuge.
So you're going to have to forcibly acquire those 11 properties. Are there any other options? Could you have avoided this in any other way, improve the safety of the dam, increase the height of the dam, remove the dam completely? Are you confident you've looked at all of the other options?
Well, we think so, yes. Look, we did look at a number of options, about 10, but including removing the dam. But as Doug said, the Dungown Dam supplies up to 50% of Tamworth's water, and it's beautiful quality water, and there's no obvious way that we can find the 3,000 megalitres of water that it provides to Tamworth on an annual basis somewhere else. So the council's very keen to maintain the Dungown Dam. The other options are more structural type options, but I think it's important to realise that, particularly for the flooding events, the structural options will just ensure that the dam doesn't fail. If we do get one of these extreme flood events, the downstream residents will still be flooded by water.
So you're confident that these 11 residents are not being subjected to the least cost option for council?
Well, look, what we're looking at is what is the best way to ensure the safety of these residents downstream. And this is the option that we think is the most appropriate, because at the end of the day, despite the amount of money we spend on the dam, if they're still going to be subject to, you know, significant depths of flood water at high speed through their residence, there is a danger that they will lose their life.
Mm. And Bruce Logan's with us on ABC New England Northwest. So how much will this cost the council?
Well, we're not really sure about that. What we're suggesting is it'll certainly be in the millions. It depends, obviously, on whether how much the refuges for a start cost to build, and also for the 11 properties that we are talking to about what option the owners choose to move forward with. Some might choose to sell their properties to council, and that'll be obviously that'll set the price that council pays for that. Others may choose, as Doug said, to look at building a new home or somewhere higher up on their existing property, and council is going to pay for that.
Mm. And what's the indication at this stage of all of the 11 look likely to agree, or have you had some already refuse?
Well, I haven't spoken to all of them yet. I've spoken to them on the phone, but I haven't had face-to-face discussions with all of them. Look, it's a big shock to people. I mean, obviously, those people who are resident up there are certainly very attached to their house, obviously. It is a beautiful place, part of the world. It's a big shock to them. We aren't trying to hurry them. We're giving them plenty of time to consider their options. And in this stage, everyone, I think, is pretty understanding about what the risk is, and they're just mulling over their options that they were provided.
I guess so pretty important for people to attend those community meetings this Thursday and next, is it?
Or
is
Absolutely, it? Yes. It's on this Thursday from 2:30 to 7, and we would encourage anyone who's resident in the Dungown Valley, the people who are getting flood refugees have also had letters posted out to them, and just the general community, the Dungown community, has had letters posted out to them advising of these workshops. So they're this Thursday and next Thursday from 2:30 till 7 p.m. at the Dungown Hall. And we would encourage anyone who has any questions or indeed wants to know what's going on to come along at any time. There'll be various members of staff there, and you can ask questions. As Doug said, it's not a sit-down and listen-to-us-talk type arrangement. It's if you come in and you ask us our questions, we'll try and answer them.